I can appreciate what you felt last Sunday, Kenny. I did want to express my appreciation for this congregation, its leadership. Kenny, thank God for the spirit he's put upon you. That word last week was good and from the Lord. And appreciate the sense of family that you express to the church. And now, let me just pause now and let's ask the Lord for his grace. Father, as your church is assembled, we are so humbled to realize what you have done for your people. How you have reached down and redeemed us from this confused and chaotic world and put within us a life and a source from heaven. We pray, Lord, that we may ever guard that in our lives and that we may stand clear in the face of all the lack of clarity that surrounds us on every hand. Bless, I pray, the people who are gathered here. Anoint these lips, Lord, that we may be released to speak your truth and uncover your reality. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't suppose any of you have really noticed, but things in our society, in our culture, have begun to get really weird. We're living in a culture that is dominated by a philosophy that is increasingly disconnected from reality. It makes your head hurt to hear what people of prominence say, things that are totally wacky, and yet seriously they're pursuing these things. They have tried to eliminate God and have a clear mind. They've tried to remove God and establish a morality that functions. There is no basis for them, because without God, the Creator, there is no design, there is no order, there is no purpose, there is no absolute moral basis, no authority, and consequently, no sense. A mind void of the consciousness of God is like a little dinghy on a big ocean. No orientation, no sense of direction, no clarity. It can't work. Observable facts no longer are what guide us. Common sense is passé. Intellectual integrity matters nothing. We can hold this here and this here, regardless if there's any integrity or relationship, just whatever. We've abandoned all of this in the quest for absolute freedom. The problem is, you can't eliminate reality. Close your eyes to reality. You can call it something else. You can deny it, but all it does is create a problem for you, problem for me. 3,000 years ago, the psalmist lamented this very thing. In the second psalm, he said, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" Vain means useless, helpless, pointless. "The kings of the earth set themselves..." Take a position, "and the rulers counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let's cast away their cords from us. Let's break their bands asunder.'" I came across a translation called the Passion Translation, and I like the way it reads this psalm too. It says, "How dare the nations plan rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the power brokers of the world rise up and hold their summit as the rulers scheme and confer together against Yahweh and his anointed king, saying, 'Let us come together and break away from the Creator. Once for all, let us cast off these controlling chains of God and his Christ.'" If that does not describe perversion of the day, I don't know what does. 3,000 years ago, the psalmist, by the Spirit, lamented and declared what it is that's the problem in the heart of man. The response from that says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." "The Lord shall have them in derision." It says, "He shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." It's a frightful thing to think of God speaking to you in his anger, speaking to you in his wrath. I remember as a kid, I did not like to see my dad frown. I did not like for him to know when I had done wrong. I didn't like the feel of the belt when it was not around my waist, but against my rear. And this was not because he didn't love me, but because there's no way to depart from the ways that are right without suffering. Discipline is simply a reminder to us that, whoa, wrong way. The plight of man is that he seeks to excuse rather than acknowledge. Seeks to find a reason why it's all right instead of saying in his heart, "I'm wrong." God and his laws that he set in place, both natural and moral, are immutable. Understand that. They are immutable. Somebody says, "No, they're not. I don't do what the law says. I don't do what the Bible says." You're not going to come out smelling like roses either. It doesn't matter if you're a king or a judge or a ruler or an educator. The Lord calls on them to be wise, to be instructed. There are many who are instructors who need to be instructed today. There are judges who are passing judgment who need to be enlightened to the truth. For those who do not revere God or his law cannot pass righteous judgment or bring about justice. Isaiah says, "Woe to those who quarrel with the Maker. They are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds of the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?'" You know, all this started in the Garden of Eden, the first man and the first woman. God had created a beautiful setting, planted a garden in Eden, and he put man there, formed him, and placed him there. But he commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for the day you eat of it, you shall die." Then enters the serpent, Satan, that old devil. And he said unto the woman, "Hey, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" She said, "We may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, neither touch it, or you will die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be enlightened. Your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to look at, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit of it, and did eat, and gave it to her husband, and he did eat. Verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened." Wait a minute. Weren't their eyes already open? The eyes of them both were open, and they were illuminated to a facet that was never designed to be a part of them. Suddenly they knew evil, and they knew that they were naked. Previously it said they were naked and were not ashamed. This was the perfection of relationship in the presence of a perfect God. But now their eyes were opened, and they saw themselves naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to cover their nakedness. And then they heard the voice of the Lord, which came to them continually to commune with them. They heard the voice of the Lord, and they hid themselves. So he who was their communion day after day now was to be feared, and they drew back to hide. The Lord called out to Adam and said unto him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He hadn't done that other days. I think this is becoming woke. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? I didn't tell you that. Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat?" And then the man said, "Well, the woman you gave me." And the woman said, "Well, the serpent." The serpent told a certain amount of truth. But his truth was like modern narratives. They present a picture that covers what's going on underneath. Yeah, their eyes were open. They knew good and evil. They were like the gods, he says, knowing good and evil. But oh, the calamity that has resulted from that for all of humanity. From that day, the consciousness of evil has ever been with man. The allurement to evil has always been there. And it wars with the good that God created in the human soul. Interesting that immediately the very first son that Adam and Eve had killed his younger brother. Murder, right off the bat. Where did that come from? It started by disbelieving and disobeying the word of the sovereign Lord and Creator who had made all things beautiful and good. And suddenly now, there is darkness, there is evil, there is jealousy, there is resentment, there is self-seeking, and all of these things that war in the souls of man around the world in every culture. And the world has been infected with this battle with evil. It went on just a few generations, and God said, "The wickedness of man is so great in the earth, every imagination of the thoughts of their heart is only evil continually, and it repents me that I have made them on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart, and the Lord said, I will destroy the man whom I have created from the face of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Mankind was not totally wiped out, because there was yet a man who believed God, who obeyed God, and Noah and his family were spared. But after the flood and the children of Noah and their children and their children, that same infection that was in the children of Adam was still working in the hearts of men. And through the generations down to Abraham, God still found a man who believed him, and the Lord made covenant with him, said, "I will bless you, I will bless your children. Your children will become a great nation, and they will bless all the nations of the world." And this is from Abraham that came Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all the sons of Israel, Jacob being Israel, renamed. And yet that family, too, still had the same struggle. And the whole nation ended up in Egypt, bitter slaves. And God came again and rescued them by his mighty hand, by his mighty power, gave them the law, a written law from the hand of Moses. Why did he give them a written law? Because there's still that struggle of sin in the human heart. And the mind gets off course and goes in ways it shouldn't go. And so when Joshua took over the children of Israel and they were about to go into the promised land, he said, "Joshua, This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Interesting how much emphasis through the scriptures is upon meditating upon the word of God, abiding in it, observing to do it. See, you meditate, when you think and think on the right things, it helps you to choose the right things, because you have in mind not what your appetites are saying, not what your neighbor is saying, but you have in mind what God is saying. And the word of the Lord is a sure foundation. And if you follow it, your buttons will line up. But there's something in the human heart, and it's a strange thing how it just keeps on keeping on. The influence of people around you can become a source of your departure from God. Ways of thinking that are contradictory to God. We need that book in our lives. We need the scriptures in our hearts that we may walk in a way that's safe. For God's purpose is not evil. His laws are not to restrict you and make you miserable. How many times as a kid did you think that your parents' rules? My parents just are trying to make my life miserable. Years ago, I went to the county juvenile home occasionally on a Sunday to talk with the children who were incarcerated there. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, I was sitting there among this kids around the table, just trying to make a conversation go. And this one girl said, "Well, my folks' rules, they wouldn't let me do anything." So I ran away. I escaped their rules. In a Dr. Phil moment, I said, "So how's that working out for you?" Now, they couldn't go anywhere. There was bars and wire barbed fences. So is that like jumping out of the frying pan into the fire? The cravings of the human heart to satisfy itself and not to serve and please God is a snare that does not bring you freedom, does not bring you liberty, does not bring you satisfaction and fulfillment, but brings you into a prison, bound and enslaved by sin and disobedience. We're never going to be literally, absolutely free of all things. We can simply trade our slavery to sin and selfish appetite for servanthood to Jesus Christ. And when we receive the word of the Lord and submit to the word of the Lord, it's a source of great blessing. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth his fruit in season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Wow, wouldn't you rather have that kind of planting? You know, when I'm working my way through this, I'm feeling like, whoa, this is too much heavy. This is all a bunch of negativeness. But we need to be alert, brothers and sisters, to the fact that we're living in a world that has so perverted the word of God, so eliminated the presence and purposes of God, that we sometimes just begin to adapt to it. I shudder to think of the accountability of those who are instructing our children in the public schools and have been given curriculum that they're being forced to feed our children, that are creating disconnected minds, distorted, perverted thinking that will leave them with no foundation on which to stand in this world. Oh God, Lord have mercy. When Jesus said, "Woe to those who cause the little ones to stumble, it better if a millstone were hanging around their neck and they were cast in the sea
speaks of how serious that is, to mess up the minds and mess up the hearts and mess up the thinking of a little child. Jesus said, these are the ones who the kingdom of God is made of, the simple, trusting, obeying children. And except you become like a little child, you cannot receive the kingdom of God. Wow. To mess up the children is to destroy a generation of adults. Through all of the chaos of human history, the story, the battle is always the same. But God never lost control, and his purposes continued to weave through the story of history. And he always had a man, he always had a woman, he always had a person of faith to link from generation to generation, and it was all in a course going down to that ultimate Messiah, Jesus, whom God sent. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned, and he sent him to save the world. Save us from our condemned state. Save us from our confused state. Save us from our darkened mind, and bring light and life to all who believe. And he says, he who believes on the Son of God shall have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Wow, this is good news. All of man's efforts and all of man's natural ways lead only to a darkened path that goes down to destruction. There is a way that seems right to a man's own thinking, but the end thereof are the ways of death and destruction. There was a man who once toyed with sin and veered off the path and reasoned and argued with himself that it's all right. I see something valuable here. But in his despair, he penned these words. I walked down a path that was not wise. I chose every day to close my eyes. I said, Lord, I won't be long. I don't see what's wrong, but now I cannot see, but I cry. Lord, I'm waiting for the morning, for the dawning, the light of the morning, till the light breaks through. I cannot see tomorrow, but your words I will borrow and put my hope in you. Walking in the ways contrary to the Lord lead only to human despair and misery. And there is no one who can defy it. For the laws of the Lord are immutable. Those who break them are broken. There's no way around it. But those who will humble themselves before it shall be established. God himself will do it. Oh, thank God for the good news of Jesus. For all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to our own ways, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For he who knew no sin, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, became sin for us sinners, that in exchange we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, wow. Incomprehensible, isn't it? That God would lay aside his glory, would take upon himself the ridicule that belongs to the sinner, take upon him even the eternal judgment of death that belongs to the sinner, and willingly receive it unto himself for us. How contrary to the struggle of the human heart that says, I want this, so I would go that way. Jesus said, I want you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to live. I want you to be in fellowship with me. So I will go and take on me all that you have purchased by your ways. Wow. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. not children of human flesh, but children of God. That which is flesh is flesh, but that which is spirit is spirit. He said to Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And Nick said, well, wait a minute. I'm too big to get back in my mama and be born again. Jesus said, you're a leader in Israel and you don't understand? You must be born of the Spirit of God. That which was quenched at the beginning in the garden and has been dimmed in the souls of man ever since, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And to them who believed and received, it says, he gave them superpower inside to be born and alive to God again. Woo! If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old way of thinking is turned around, and life has a whole new perspective. Glory to God. But be warned of this, brothers and sisters, believers in Christ. The battle is not over. It's not just a matter of saying, I believe in Jesus, because you're still living in a world that is controlled by the prince of the power of the air, the rulers of darkness of this world, that God-rejecting spirit. We must walk in the midst of this world as lights illuminated because the life of Christ is in us. So be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Give glory to God. I love the way you guys worship. For out of that comes a radiance that the world can see that's different than what they get from the dim, dark news of the day. Lord, help us to walk in him. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you shall bear much fruit. If you abide in me and I in you, the mystery of the glorious gospel is Jesus Christ born into you by the Spirit. That's the hope of glory. We all have fallen short of the glory of God, but God has given us of his Spirit that we may live through him to glorify God. The harder we try in our natural, what is it? The hurrier I go, the behinder I get. Have you ever been tried so hard? Oh, wow. But when you let the Spirit of God live in you, when you do not resist it but respond to it, it's life-giving. As we close the service, if the Spirit of the Lord has spoken to you and borne witness to something in your life to you, then I just pray, God, by God's grace, you'll respond. If you haven't received Jesus Christ and believed on him and accept him, he's standing with arms open wide. It says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He's not talking about those of you who work in the sawmill. Those of you who labor and are heavy laden because your life does not go right because God isn't in it, I will give you rest. Take my burden on you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So if you're struggling in your soul and in your life because God is not in his proper place, then as we conclude this service, would you humbly pray, Lord Jesus, I return to you. I've been wrong. Forgive me. I want to walk on your path. I want to receive and live by your Spirit. Sing along.
Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence in his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Go with God.